Rover Show, the only place to go. Bruce and Shelley and Mark, let them light the spark to stay on the right track. Or just listen for fun to the 101, to the 101. Recovery 101. Recovery 101.
Thank you to Brandon for our marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AANAOACAGAPASLASLAACRRR. FAIR, EA, CMA, CYA.
Cover your ass.
Yeah, we don't speak for them either.
California Youth Authority.
Them either.
Oh, okay.
We don't speak for any of them guys.
Or any of the anons.
The opinions are ours and ours alone, which probably makes the people we don't speak for pretty happy.
I know. And we have hours and hours of ours opinions.
Yeah, yes, we do. Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B. As always, with
Shelley
and Mark.
Again, a big shout out to our new sponsor, my12stepstore.com. They also have a physical address in West Hollywood, but if you look them up on Google, my12stepstore. Actually, you should best be able to look up my12stepstore.com because it's really, 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 really easy.
Or look it up through recovery101.net.
Right. So if you want to go check out the place and you want to go there in person and meet up with RJ, you can do that.
Don't promise RJ's presence to everybody. You never know what he's going to be doing.
He works every single day, all day, every day.
Well, there
you go. What if he goes to lunch and one of our listeners shows up and gets ticked off because RJ is not there?
Then just as when they listen to our show, they'll learn to deal with little disappointments.
Yeah, they'll have to live with it. No, I'll tell you what, if RJ's not there, someone that's in his stead will be there and it'll be just fine. It's a cool place. Went there. They are the recovery gift people.
So you know what happens if you mention Recovery 101?
Nothing.
Exactly.
You get nothing.
Exactly.
Yeah, Willy Wonka comes to mind. Nothing.
Yeah. You get nothing.
I still got the gobstopper.
You stole the fizzy lifting drinks. You slammed into the ceiling. It had to be washed and sterilized. You get nothing.
Awesome. I love that movie.
I like the original one.
Yeah. And I like the other one, too.
There's no earthly way of knowing
which
direction we are going.
Let me tell you something. That is an acid casualty song right there.
The whole segment in the movie scared the crap out of me when I was a kid.
Who wrote the movie? Oh, by the way, welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B. As always,
we did that already.
Oh, did we? Oh, good.
Yeah. I think we did.
Yeah, we did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who wrote the book, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory?
Oh, Roald Dahl.
Okay.
Which the book itself, if you read it as a kid, you might have had a couple nightmares. There were some places that were pretty dang scary.
Was he on the same kind of psychotropic drugs that Lewis Carroll was on when he wrote Alice in Wonderland?
No.
How do you know? Because let me tell you something. Oompa Loompas and, you know, it was very weird.
He was just an interesting guy.
So which is darker, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory or Mary Poppins?
Ooh. I think Charlie... Yeah. Is darker than Mary Poppins.
Mary Poppins?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so. They're.
Do you mean the original?
The original books, yeah.
Yeah, the books, yeah. Not Julie Andrews.
Yeah.
Running around, you know, singing with the Banks family.
Oh, I saw the movie Saving Mr. Banks. One of my favorite films of all time, actually. I really liked it.
I think one of the things you have to keep in mind when you're talking about children's books from days of our childhoods is that it was okay to scare little kids a little bit. Most of the books that we read as a kid had some kind of a moral lesson in them.
Yeah.
And not the good guys went through some pretty bad crap. Now, they usually won at the end. There was usually a happy ending. But you had to go through some doo-dah to get there.
Yeah.
And it wasn't always, you know...
Do we need to, at this juncture, mention nursery rhymes?
Oh, my gosh.
Rock-a-bye baby in the treetop. When the bough breaks, the cradle will... Rock.
No, wait, yes. No. The bell breaks, the cradle
when
will
the bell
fall.
Breaks, the cradle will fall, and Dan will come, baby cradle and all.
Yes.
Who sings that to their little child? I mean, it's like, it's
Ring
telling
around
you,
the rosy.
That's bubonic plague.
It's telling you that you're going to fall out of a tree all the way to the ground.
I think that one was about, was that one about tuberculosis or? A lot of children's rhymes were about
deadly diseases.
Deadly diseases.
Well, I know bubonic plague was
yeah.
the ring around the rosy, pocket full of posies. They put posies in their pockets so that they didn't smell. You didn't smell the stench of the dying, falling apart bodies everywhere.
Well, in London Bridge is Falling Down, there are two different interpretations of that. One of them, the rhyme was because when London Bridge was built, they didn't wall the children up in them.
They what?
So everybody was afraid the bridge was going to fall down.
Oh.
They used to, in order to keep a bridge from falling down in the supports, the four main supports on either bank,
mm-hmm.
they would brick live children up inside the supports.
That is the creepiest, most disgusting thing ever.
Yes, they would hand them an apple because back in the day, you know, you get an apple, that's a big sweet treat, and then lead them
I don't even want to,
It was
Dude,
not that their
that
spirit,
almost makes me want to cry just
I know,
hearing
it's
it.
Horrible.
That's horrible.
But that's
Bruce,
one of the...
It's okay, they weren't live very long.
Yeah, they were alive until they starved to death.
No, until the air ran out, because those things are pretty dang bricked up.
Somehow that doesn't make me feel any better.
Actually,
they were alive until the air ran out.
Actually, the air running out would not have been... Back then, that would have been a kind way to die.
They'll fall asleep.
Because they would just fall asleep.
You know what would have been a kinder way to die?
Not
old
to die.
Age. Old age. God. Oh,
there was
my
no old
God.
Age back then. 40 was old age.
Holy crap. Welcome to the medieval times version of Recovery 101. See, you know what? RJ is listening to this show going, what the heck did I get into sponsoring?
We haven't even
here?
Gotten into Grimm's yet.
Well, no, I was just making the point I was making when you were talking about, you know, Travers versus Roald Dahl.
Yeah.
Is that it was okay to scare little kids, not just because you were teaching them a lesson or there was a moral tale or whatever, but because kids were tougher. It wasn't
no
all
kidding.
It wasn't all sunglasses and autographs back then, and, you know, not everybody was running around with their magic pokey little puppy was, that was around back then.
When
but,
I was growing up, they didn't have an 11th place ribbon.
Yeah. So the kids were a little tougher, so these stories were to them were not quite as grim as, you know, parents now read Mary Poppins and they're like, ooh, I don't want my kid reading that, because they forget that it's okay to toughen your kids up. They can't, you know, it's all the hand sanitizer. That's the thing that drives me absolutely nuts. I have a serious bone to pick with people that do that. Your kid needs to get dirty. If you don't let your kid get dirty,
and
they are going to
ingest germs.
Yes, they have to, because if they don't, they end up being subject to every other disease that comes down the pike. Yeah. They get asthma. They get the rates of asthma have risen dramatically in the last 20 years, because nobody's exposed to it. When my kid was 2-3 years old, I think he was two and a half. My ex and I brought in a truck full of dirt because we were going to put in a new lawn in the backyard. Yeah. We literally left this giant hill of dirt out there for him to play in it, and he would go out with his trucks and play in it all day, and then I'd hose him off in the backyard and bring him inside.
You bet.
And that was, he loved it. Yeah. That was like his favorite place for like a month until we got the lawn put in. But you have to do, that's, sorry, I'm on my soapbox now.
Today's question. Favorite author?
Ah. Oh, please don't ask me that question. Oh, God. Go to Mark.
Or one of your favorite authors.
Okay, Bruce, because Bruce reads less than we do. What's your favorite? Who's your favorite author?
There's no doubt who mine is, and you know who it is. Eric Von Daniken.
Wait a minute. He wrote
Chariots of the Gods.
Oh, jeez.
That's right, baby. It was Aliens.
I'm not saying it was Aliens, but it was Aliens.
I'm not saying. I'm just saying. It's my guilty pleasure. I loved that book when I was a kid. That was one of my favorite books of all time. All time. Otherwise, it's, you know, Bill W. and the boys back in the day. And I think like one woman.
I got to do top five. I can't really do a top author. Because Frank Herbert is one of them. I've lived in the Duneverse for many years.
Oh, wait a minute. One of my favorite authors is Shelley Burnett.
Oh, thank you. Plug. Elizabeth Peters. Terry Pratchett.
I can't believe she's not mentioning the one.
What? Who?
I'm not going to say. I'm going to see if you're going to say it. But you haven't mentioned them yet. I'm not even going to say if it's a man or a woman.
I'm trying to think who, like, put people on priority lists here. I don't know. Go to Mark.
You didn't name J.K. Rowling? You who, like, have been glued to those books like crazy glue finger
a
frisbee.
I love the Harry Potter books. However, when I'm thinking about all time and my entire life, the books that have really stuck with me.
You know it's
freaking
Hemingway.
Oh, geez.
Call
don't
me
even get
Ishmael.
Me started. No. Hemingway was an excellent short story writer, and he should have stuck to that because his books are hideous.
How about you, Mark?
I like David Morrell. I like David Baldacci. I like Robin Cook's early stuff.
You know what I like? I don't know any of these people.
I like Heinlein.
I know him. Oh!
And Henry David Thoreau.
One of my favorites when I was young,
Heinlein.
I did read a bunch
Stranger
of...
Stranger in a Strange Land.
The Rolling Stones.
The Rolling Stones.
One that I read a bunch of.
Cat Who Walked Through Walls.
Uh-huh. When I was young, uh-huh. Ray Bradbury.
Oh, he's
good.
A good choice.
I read a bunch of Ray Bradbury when I was young.
Yeah. And Thoreau.
Actually, good stuff.
I'd have to say, though, like classic authors, mm-hmm. Jane Austen and Mark Twain. I went through a period of time, probably a couple of years, where every other book I read was Mark Twain, even if I'd already read it. I read everything. My favorite was actually called...
Connecticut Yankee and King Arthur's Court?
No. And I can't even... Now I'm having a trouble remembering the titles, like The Dark Railroad or something. It was his dark essays and stories. Dark, dark stuff. And in that was his story to the Stranger Sitting in the Darkness, which is about religious zealotry and stuff. That was an excellent essay. Another one of my favorite essays was by Jonathan Swift, A Modest Proposal. I don't know if you ever read that one. It caused a huge scandal because you read the whole entire essay wherein he's proposing a solution to the problem of starvation among the lower classes. Mm-hmm. You get to the end of the essay and you realize that he is proposing that they eat their children. But it's done so well. Mm-hmm. I laughed my butt off. I'm sorry. It was just really good.
I'm looking Trevanian? At...
Huh?
How about Trevanian?
Wait. Stuff. What was the product, Shelley?
I know.
We were watching
that.
It. There was an ad for it on YouTube the other day or on Facebook. And the name of the product was Soylent.
Oh, geez. Harrison. Make Room is the name of the book. Yeah.
The name of the product was Soylent. And I'm like, who are the marketing guys? And it was like some energy bar or something.
No, it's a drink, energy drink.
Soylent drink. And I'm like, Soylent, and you know, you look down in the comments, and like everyone's like, Soylent Green is people, Soylent Green is people.
Yeah.
And it's like, who
missed that
brainiac?
One? Who missed that one?
What brainiac came up with that?
It is impossible to pick out who's your favorite author you've read thousands of books.
Super easy for me.
Because you've only read 5 books.
No, that's totally not true.
5 good ones, 3? Though.
Totally not true. I was an English major.
Okay, so you had to read some other books.
See, but then I've got...
Oh, does that make them not count?
See, but then I've got Dick Schaap and all the sports writers that wrote books that were all fantastic, so...
I've read Stephen King, The Stand. It was a good book.
Yeah, it was one of his only good books.
I read Herman Wach, War and Remembrance. I read, almost
War?
Everything by
did you
Thomas
read War?
Blake.
Did you read Peace or did you read both, War and Peace?
Oh, excellent book. Oh, I forgot about Steinbeck.
Yeah.
Because he wrote a book.
Classic authors, you know.
He wrote a book. I have it, actually, because when the library discarded it,
uh-huh.
and I found it on the discard pile, uh-huh. I was like, that is mine. And it's still in, I mean, you can get it. You can go on Amazon and buy it and send it to you, but it's called The Short Reign of Pippin the Fifth,
mm-hmm.
or Fourth. It is one of the funniest things I've ever read. It was so hilarious.
Wow.
Missioner penned a good thing or two?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
You know, we did movies the other day.
Miracle in Seville. I loved that one.
You just reminded me.
And Space. I read Space. That one was good.
Space was
of
great.
A movie.
What?
That was a great movie. The Mouse That Roared.
Oh, I read that book when I was a kid.
Yeah. It was a great movie, though, too.
Onward, upward.
I knew that when I brought up this topic that while Shelley really wanted to shorten the banter time, that this would somehow become longer when I mentioned something to do with books.
All right, well.
So 15 minutes into the banter.
Okay, now that we've bantered, I do want to ask our listeners to go on recovery101.net, and if you've listened to this show, comment on the show, not just with your favorite book, but also I want to ask the question, because we uploaded a show. The total running time for it was 1 hour and 20 minutes. It was ridiculously long. And
perfect.
I said to Bruce, we really need to shorten the shows because nobody wants to hear an hour. I don't even want to listen to us for 1 hour and 20 minutes. So here's the question. What do you think is the perfect length for the show?
I might mention that the show that is number one as we speak, we are number two as we speak, I mean not in recovery, but overall, is a show that's clearly a number one, has been a number one for the last couple of days, runs 2 hours and 20 minutes. So I don't think it's the length of the show. I think it's the content of the show that does it. But you guys can weigh in, and we'll see what
say. Yeah, so.
Well, if we're judging it by the content of the show, we're going to...
We're going to be
minutes.
In 585
minutes.
We can talk less. We can let Shelley talk more, whatever you guys tell us.
No, you know what's going to happen?
I don't want to talk
You know what's going to happen? People are going to be like, I don't like books. I like the big book. And I like the basic text. And I like the 12 and 12. You know what people say?
Kill yourself
now. My favorite
now.
Author is going to be Chuck C.
New pair of glasses?
Kill yourself now.
Recovery should be celebrated. At my12stepstore.com, celebrate your life with the most unique gifts for all 12-step programs. My12stepstore.com carries a wide range of inspirational and program books, t-shirts, chips, medallions, 12-step jewelry, and so much more. For you or someone you love, visit My12Step Store in West Hollywood or shop online at my12stepstore.com. We ship to the world. My12stepstore.com, where love meets service.
So, you know what that means?
But Bruce White.
Oh, it's time for the boozy news. And the news not fit for booze. Our dudes were pretty on that time.
I'm having a little bit of difficulty with mobility
here. You're caught in my...
No, I mean my hips and my knees were not working.
Oh, well, that is a problem.
Yeah. It's a little bit of a problem when your joints won't bend. Okay.
What you got?
Let's see. We
got some shout-outs?
I have shout-outs to Jane, Dakota, Joey, Bill, James, Randy, Dan, Georgette, Stryker, Alexandria, Jack, Fran, Michael, Scully, Lee, Scott, Donald, Elizabeth, Natalie, Sally, Damon, Neil, and John.
I'm telling you, 2 years from now, we won't have to banter
this
anymore
will be like
because
the 9/11.
Of the shout-outs.
This will be like reading the names on 9/11.
I've got another shout-out.
What?
He didn't send any boozy news, but I got a shout-out anyway.
Who?
To RJ.
Okay.
Owner of my12stepstore.com.
Okay. All right, then.
Well, I told him. I said, you know what? Well, I went in there. I bought stuff already. So I'm, you know, he gave us a little bit of swag. It was totally cool.
Yeah, you got a really nice chip.
Gave me a resentment.
James, huh?
Talk about gave me a resentment.
Gave me a calendar. Matter of fact, I might give that calendar to Mark.
No, we're not giving that calendar to Mark.
I think by the time this show goes up, this thing is going to have gone by. But these guys are called the Trudging Buddies, and they're a cyclist group, and they. They're writing to earn money for AIDS.
AIDS research.
AIDS
not
research,
AIDS.
And they are
writing. They're writing to earn money for AIDS.
For AIDS research. From San Francisco to Los Angeles.
There was a coach named Jim Valvano who coached North Carolina State. Was a great college basketball coach, and he died of cancer. So they had a tournament. They had a tournament in his honor. That was called Coaches Against Cancer. And one announcer during the game said, we'll be right back to the Coaches for Cancer tournament after this.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, my God.
Well, it's like the library I used to work in, they decided, I don't forget what it was, they were raising money to donate to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation or whatever. Mm-hmm. So they printed up banners for this event
Oh God.
That said they were raising money for breast cancer. And I went to my boss.
Breast cancer doesn't need any money.
That's exactly what I said to Ronnie. I said, Ronnie, tell me that we can get these banners reprinted. She said, why? And I said, no one pays for breast cancer. And she looked down at the banner and she was like, oh, yeah. Oh, geez.
Yeah.
Well, it's like Parks and Rec department, they seriously need a copy editor. They put up a sign on Memorial Day that had a list of all of our fallen soldiers. Uh-huh. And at the top of it, it said, our heroes, spelled HERO'S.
Which couldn't be more wrong. And Parks and Rec is who runs the library.
Hey, that looks great. Who are the chefs?
Yeah.
Want to get away?
All right. First story is Damon sent this one in.
Damon.
And I read the headline and said, okay, this is one of those satire news sites. This can't possibly be true. Yes, it is true. There is video of this. You can watch it. It's very deeply disturbing.
I may have already seen it then.
This happened on a bus trip in central Thailand between Rangsit and Nakhon Nayok. This is a long trip. So most of the people that you see in the video are asleep. They're all like leaning on each other or sort of just, you know, doing the bobblehead thing as the bus is going along. One traveler saw something that interested him or scandalized him, one of the two, and decided to start videotaping it because a fellow passenger who was a couple of rows in front of him began to masturbate on the bus. He was wearing, you know, in Thailand, the men often wear those.
It's like a sarong.
It's
or
like
something,
a sarong
sort of.
Skirt type of thing. I mean, it's not a skirt, but yeah, like that sort of thing. And then you realize that he has an eggplant sticking out of his butt.
Lunch.
He was on, and he posted this video to Facebook. You know how they do the streaming live share thing?
Yes.
He streamed it live on Facebook. So now, and then it records automatically. So it's on his profile. And he taglined it, warning, there's a pervert masturbating on the public van. The eggplant is the scary part.
Oh.
I'm thinking, I have an eggplant in my fridge right now. I'm really not sure I want to eat it.
It's been properly fertilized.
Oh, my gosh. An eggplant.
Think about what those produce guys do at the store at night.
What I want to know is
how big was the eggplant?
A Japanese eggplant.
Because some eggplants.
I don't know. Well, either that or this eggplant. Either that or this guy has serious problem with constipation and he has gigantic poop. I don't know, but ew. Yikes. Thank you so much, Damon, for sending me the link to that video.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks, Damon.
The University of Alberta in Canada.
Canada.
Tim Caulfield is a professor at the university. He spotted a poster for a university event, immediately tweeted it, and it garnered so much ridicule that the university shut the event down. They canceled the workshop because it was, at first the professor thought it was a magic show. Then he realized that it wasn't. The seminar, the event, was titled Spoon Bending and the Power of the Mind. And it was put on by a woman named Anastasia Kut, who claims that by the end of the seminar, you would be able to bend a spoon with the energy of your mind.
Awesome. I'm in.
It was sponsored by the Science and Engineering Department.
Perfect.
Which was what Tim Caulfield was objecting to because he is an engineering professor.
And he's like, that's not going to happen.
Yeah. So there's absolutely no way you can bend a spoon using the power of your mind.
Dude, keep an open mind.
Wait a minute. What was the guy?
Kreskin.
Yuri Geller. Yeah. Yuri Geller, yes.
Thank you, Peanut
Geller.
Yes, Gallery.
Yuri Geller. He would... He did on like Johnny Carson or yeah.
But they actually figured out how he did it.
Really?
He always brought his own spoons everywhere he went when he went on these little jaunts, and they were very thin throated, And if you notice when he bends the spoon, he's rubbing the spoon with his thumb, and they figure the friction made the spoon, because it was so thin, the weight of the bowl of the spoon would start to bend on its own.
It was aliens.
It was. I'm not saying it was aliens.
It
but
was his
aliens.
Mind. It was a mind bend.
Right. Okay.
Another good book, by the way.
Chris Angel probably do it.
Mind bend. Wait. Who wrote that?
Skillful conjuring tricks. There we go.
Who wrote Mind Bend?
I'm trying to remember.
Because I can't remember either. Because you said that, and I went, "Oh, I know. I think I read that."
Yeah. So that was a good. That was a great book. Who read that?
Or maybe I'm thinking of Octavia Butler, who wrote Mind of My Mind.
I gotta search the
Googles. Because that was a really good book too.
I gotta search the Googles.
Okay. While he's Googling.
You guys still talking about books?
Yeah.
Yes.
And you started.
I should have never brought that up.
You started it. Okay. This story. I thought this isn't really a story, like it's not news, but I just thought it was so cute.
Robin Cook.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
How about Robin Leach? Could you see Robin Leach going around recovery? This is Robin Leach with Lifestyles of the Poor and Downtrodden. Today we visit Alcoholics Anonymous.
No.
See how the other half lives.
No, I couldn't.
Anyway, this story, it was a sweet story, so I included it because I liked it. The little girl's name is not in the story, but if you look up Hot Dog Princess, you will find a million.
Wow, you'll find a million porn movies, I think.
Little girl, she's in a regular dance class, and the dance class decided to have a princess day, and all the little girls could dance, look up, or dress up like princesses
look up their
and
dress.
Dance. All of the little girls came as whatever their favorite Disney princess was.
Except
for
one
girl who came dressed as an Oscar Mayer wiener. Because she said, I didn't really want to be a princess. I want to be a hot dog. It was her favorite costume. And her parents were like, sure, you want to be a hot dog? Be a hot dog. She is now becoming viral because she is like the leader of the group of girls that are like, that want to be different, that want to be something else. They don't want to be princesses. They want to
use the men's boys' room at school and stuff like that.
I know. I'm not going there.
Am I the one who thought about dressing my daughter up as Princess Diana after the accident?
Wow.
You can send your mail to Mark.
Mail away. For what? For having fun? Mark's
address. But now she is the leader of the nonconformist brigade of little girls on the internet.
The Wiener Brigade? Perfect. I wanted to meet those girls in high school, too.
It's still a porn movie.
It was a really good hot dog costume. I'm telling you, I saw the picture, and she looked adorable.
All right. We'll go with that.
She looked... Well, I thought she was... I thought the hot dog costume was cuter
Chasing
than
Wieners
the Disney
3.
Princess.
And 4.
Debbie does hot dogs. Debbie does hot dogs. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't even know what that story was about.
I know, but now I've gotten to another story where I can't figure out what the heck it is.
That makes it tough to report.
Who wrote it? Who sent it?
I got it off of FARC because we're past.
Oh, Shelly got it, and she doesn't know what it is. That's a problem.
I would get upset with whoever sent that to you.
That's a problem.
No, we just do that. Actually, let this run because.
Jacksonville,
Florida.
Thank you. According to the Sheriff's Department, the 1,654 marijuana plants that they found growing in a house Tuesday were actually marijuana plants, and it was an easy bust. They arrested two men, including the guy who was renting the home. It was an easy bust because when you have a small family home in a suburban neighborhood and they're pulling so much electricity that they blew out the transformer twice in 2 days, something's going on.
Yeah, these are guys that aren't smart enough to go to Home Depot and buy the $310 generator that will make you not... Oh, wait. I'm telling people what to do, aren't I?
It's fine. Yeah.
These marijuana. Are the same guys... Chisholm and Berlin Thomas, by the way, both 45 years old. These are the same guys. They're not real bright. They're just not real bright. Who were previously busted for having a marijuana grow operation in a home in the same neighborhood a few years ago. They got busted because they just left their windows open and the entire neighborhood could freaking smell.
Smells like weed.
1,000 marijuana plants and called the police.
We have someone near us. I don't know exactly where. who's growing weed for sure. And you can smell it during the day. I'm like, oh, wow, smell that. And Shelly's like, it makes Shelly
have sick.
Headaches. And she's like, oh, my God.
Yeah, the smell just, I'm one of those, you know, God forbid I should ever get something for which the only treatment is marijuana because the smell makes me.
Just eat it.
You know what that is?
I can't.
The what edibles are for. Awesome.
Why?
That's the only treatment for it is the smoke weed. That's what I used to think.
Edibles.
Yeah, the more I smoked, the more awesome I felt.
That's right.
Until I didn't.
Until you realized the only person you were trying to tell that to was yourself.
Yes.
In a closet.
Yes. By myself.
And finally, this in from Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania.
Wilkes-Barre.
Barre.
Is that what it is?
Wilkes-Barre.
Okay. I know. I've never been there.
Barre.
Home of the AAA Yankee farm team.
Okay.
Yes.
Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania.
Anywho.
I only know that because I have a friend who lives there.
Oh. Well, this gentleman, you know, last week we had the Father of the Year contender.
Yes.
Who used his daughter as a human shield while wearing a shirt that said number one dad.
Yeah.
This week we have the Father of the Year contender. You know, Father's Day is coming up, so I thought I'd stick this one in there.
This will be funny as hell if it turns out to be your friend.
No.
How do you know? His friend lives there. You never know. It could be Mark's friend.
Actually, I'm looking for the name and then, 34-year-old Ramon Calvamarin.
Oh, clearly that's Mark's friend.
Well, we can just start
Calvamarin?
This out. Calvamarin.
Oh, Calvamarin. Okay.
We can just start this out by saying that when he was arrested, his blood alcohol level was 0.26.
Ooh.
So he was.
Oh, yeah, he had a few.
Twice the legal limit.
No, more than that.
However, he wasn't
way
driving.
More. It's like four times the legal limit.
Three times.
Was arrested for child endangerment.
For allowing his child to drive?
Because he allowed his 14-year-old son to drive the car because he was too drunk to drive.
I think that's responsible parenting.
However.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
The 14-year-old blew a .12.
Oh.
That's bad.
Yeah.
Okay. This changed the entire makeup of the story.
That's almost twice the legal limit.
Almost. At 14, there is no legal limit.
No. They drank at home.
Yeah.
Remember we did the show, Law of the Land.
Yep.
They drank at home.
Didn't drink at home because clearly they were going home.
No. They drank at home, which was completely legal. Dad says, I'm too drunk to drive to get more beer. Hey, you drive.
Uber.
You know who could have drove at 14? No problem. My daughter.
Well, she did drive at 14, and it was a problem.
She borrowed her mother's
Tahoe
and drove it on the freeway the very first time she ever drove. Now, this is the same girl that we went to Formula One go-kart racing with, who was posting. Yeah, your daughter was the fastest. Of course, she worked there.
She worked there, yeah.
But my daughter was like right there.
Yeah, she was flying.
She was like right up there.
That was fun. That was a fun evening.
Yeah. So, you know, kids now in child protective custody and
kids
dad's
these days,
in jail.
What's the matter with kids these days?
Most people would say they're parents.
Yes.
And that, my excellent friends, is the end of the boozy news.
Recovery 101, clean and sober internet radio. Yeah.
Hi, guys. Bruce from Recovery 101 Radio. My 12-step store is a recovery book and gift store located in the heart of West Hollywood, California, and ships worldwide. Covering all forms of addiction, we specialize in the most unique gifts for yourself or a loved one. Complete with gift wrapped options and greeting card enclosures with a variety of shipping options. Celebrating 13 years of service, we strive to celebrate the life journey in recovery, offering you new, edgy, and fun gifts. Here's where you'll find the largest collection and splashiest medallions, racy clothing, 12-step jewelry, prayer bookmarks, unique gifts, inspirational recovery cards, and more. We have 12-step gifts for everyone. We have a large recovering celebrity crowd that knows that my 12-step store is the place to go for the best recovery gifts and swag. Open every day at 10 a.m., offering friendly customer service and phone orders. We donate a percentage of sales to recovery rehabs, providing scholarships and sponsorships. We partner with many national recovery organizations advancing the journey of recovery. Find us by our You Are Not Alone store sign lit 24 hours a day. You can find us online at www.my12stepstore.com and join us in person at 8730 Santa Monica Boulevard in the beautiful city of West Hollywood, California, 90069. 310-623-1702. One more time, that's 310-623-1702. My 12-Step Store.
Hey, I'm Dr. Drew, and you are listening to Recovery 101.
We're back.
Shout out
to my12stepstore.com.
Yes, sir.
The greatest place on earth to get your recovery gifts.
Yep. So
that's our thing, recovery gifts. Mm-hmm. Recovery gifts.
Hey, we should make up
a jingle for them?
We should make up an entire CD of jingles and have them sell it. The Recovery 101's best jingles of
all. You know what's going to happen? We're going to sell like 4 or 5 copies. Fran's going to buy one.
Bill will buy one. Robert will buy one.
We will sell dozens.
Courtney will buy... No, Courtney doesn't like that.
Courtney is going to buy one.
Teddy's drunk, so he won't buy one.
Is he?
Brandon might... No, Brandon's not going to buy one either.
Guillermo
probably would buy one. Guillermo, also known as Billy the Kid.
Yep.
And the Lucky Poets. By the way...
Yes.
Shelly's got a topic.
Oh.
And she's like, man, it was deer in the headlights for a second.
For a second there, I was like, I do? What?
And then tell us
the story,
how it came about.
It came about because the Thursday before, our friend certified.
Sean
came to speak at our Thursday night meeting.
Was rocking, by the way.
He speaks like he's a Southern preacher. He's from Louisiana,
he's a mix between a Baptist minister, a guy with recovery, and a rapper.
Quite the wordsmith.
Yes, I would never play Scrabble with him ever, because during his pitch he says things like, "What was my favorite one? Was program to repair or maintain?"
Oh,
and he's no, that wasn't it.
Something like that.
Yeah. Service to repair service. Or maintain per the directions of the manufacturer, which is your higher power, which is God. And he's going, I'm like, oh my gosh, I've never heard that before.
Yeah,
he was freaking amazing.
Always awesome.
Yeah.
But one of the things he said in his pitch that really stuck with me was that commitment is freedom. Because a lot of people don't think of it that way. People think, oh, I'm not ready for commitment, because they think of it as something that's shackling you, something you're taking on as a responsibility. It's a weight. And from his perspective, commitment was freedom. And I actually totally got that. I understood that, the meaning of that in several senses. Mm-hmm. You know, when I committed to recovery, I didn't have to carry the weight of my disease anymore. When I committed to my higher power, I didn't have to carry the weight of my my shortcomings anymore, my character defects. You know, when you commit to something that, from my point of view, when you commit to something that bolsters your spiritual development, you lose the weight of all of the things that were holding you back.
So when you committed to Bruce, you lost the weight of all the Harley Davidson guys?
Exactly. All the hairy biker guys just fell off.
So then how would you like to approach this?
Well, and he was
Ms.
speaking.
Ms. Shelley, Ms. Manners.
When he first said that, he was talking about his marriage, you know, and how much he obviously, clearly, totally loves his wife.
She's a queen.
Yes, and his commitment to her was freedom. He didn't have to worry about that anymore. Mm-hmm. How do I want to attack that?
Yeah.
What are you committed to that freed you up? I mean, and how did that happen?
Okay, Mark.
Nothing. Bruce?
Crickets.
Who's the lead out music by? No, you know, I mean, obviously the recovery thing.
Yeah.
I mean, in a clear fashion, anybody that gets sober has really, by committing to the program and committing to, or whatever your way of getting sober is, but for me it was committing to the program and the steps and everything, is what released me, you know, freedom from bondage. You hear that around the program. And it was freedom from bondage because I was shackled by my disease for years. And it wasn't until I got in a program that I was able to be to have true freedom in life, because for a long time, I was extremely predictable. You know, I'd go back to my house, I'd run out of money, I'd go back to here, I'd go figure out how to get money, which involved stealing things and whatever to get my drugs. I'd go back and forth and back and forth. And I would always end up in some motel bathroom by myself partying. I don't know who calls, you know, doing drugs by yourself in a motel bathroom. Pretty sure there's someone outside
us,
the door.
All of us call
calls
partying.
It partying.
We all did.
Is not exactly what it would be. Now, I think there's freedom in a lot of things. Like, for instance, I was fortunate enough to open my own store. You know, I have a severe commitment to that store, but it's been freeing in a lot of ways. It's like I don't have a regular time card to punch. You know, the worst thing about an alcoholic who owns his own store is it's kind of like, oh, you mean I'm fully in charge of something? You know, we always talk about, you know, that we're horrible people to be in charge of our lives, you know.
Right.
But the freedom is when I put my total reliance on God, which is a total commitment.
God opens the store for you?
It, you know, it's kind of like the old thing, you know, a door closes, God opens another one. You know, that's what happened with my store. You know, the business I was working at closed, driving home from work, and I see this going out of business sale in the store I used to work for years ago. I'm like, I'll open that. I went to Shelly. She had one question. Will it work? I said, yeah. That was it.
I said, okay.
Okay. How about you, Mark?
I think, you know, the freedom that comes from the different we say about the freedom from committing to the program, but the specifics in the program.
Right.
You know, it was very freeing to commit to doing my fourth and fifth step and doing it.
Oh, yeah, really freeing.
It was freeing when I got to the ninth step and made amends and made universal amends and said, I will not do this anymore in order to make amends for what I had done in my past. Gave me tremendous freedom.
That's a big commitment, too, to go to someone and be committed to the point where you might go to jail over things you're telling them.
Well, but how about the ones you can't go make amends for? Injure them or others? Adultery, you know, ending up in bed with married women. I can't really go to their husband and apologize.
Not if you want to live.
Or if I want her to be able to live. So, you know, so it's like, I can't go do that, but I can make a universal amend and say, I will not do that anymore under any circumstances.
No. Yeah. That's true.
I won't condone cheating. I won't cheat. And I won't, you know, it's like, and the freedom of not having that even be an issue anymore is tremendous.
That's true. And even in that stead, you know, seventh step, you know, committing to God that you take all these character defects away is pretty freeing as well. You know, and probably for me, one of the biggest ones, although I got to tell you, fourth and fifth, that's a fourth, fifth and ninth. Those are like extremely freeing steps. Step 12, committing to help other people is in a weird sort of way. And I know you guys are going to be like, what? Like doing this show clearly helps some people. And Shelly's like looking up like, but we know it does. We've got people that listen to the show that have told us it helped them stay sober. We have a guy that listens to this show that has had problems with recovery, but he still listens to the show. He's been listening for a long time.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know what? He goes, it's not, you know, I'm not quite doing it right yet, but it's because of listening to you guys that I still think there might be hope.
Yeah.
You know?
And there absolutely is.
And that's very cool. That's very cool.
Yeah, or we might be slowing him down.
That's what the peanut gallery said.
That's true.
The peanut gallery, who's been sitting listening to us tonight, says you guys might be fucking him up.
He goes, I don't know, man. I don't know. So
he listens to this, and you guys think this helps him?
Yeah. So, Shelly,
mm-hmm.
what other things do you do that are freeing? I'm thinking of kind of one thing, actually, a commitment that you make every week that I'm sure is spiritually freeing for you.
What, the choir?
Yeah.
Although she didn't go today, so she really screwed up.
Although I didn't go today.
Yeah.
I mean, you commit.
Bad example,
you
Bruce.
You commit most
times. Of the time. 90% of the time.
It happens every time.
More than 90% of the time.
Yeah. I mean, I do, and I generally do miss like four or five, okay, maybe half a dozen Sundays a year.
Yeah.
Joining the choir actually was the... Because going to church, I was bouncing around at church from commitment to commitment to commitment at church. Like, I was in the Rose Garden for a while. I was helping at the rummage sale. I helped at the rummage sale a few times. I did cleanup one time. I was doing different things because I was looking for the place
that you fit.
That I fit. Kind
had your eyes on the prize.
And one Sunday, after the service, one of the gentlemen, one of the basses, John, in the choir, came barreling down out of the choir loft and comes right up to me and he said, every Sunday I see you singing the hymns and you clearly really enjoy singing. You need to join the choir. And I said, oh, but I can't really sing very well and I don't read music. And he said, neither do we. Come on. And the next time they had at the very beginning of the next choir season, which was
choir
only a
tryouts?
Couple weeks later, well, they didn't have tryouts. So it was
just, no, they don't have tryouts. They take everybody.
Yeah, we take everybody. I was like so scared, but I went anyway because it was something new to try, and I'd always wanted to sing in a choir. And
if you've never seen Shelly sing in
it
a
was
choir,
amazing.
Which you probably haven't,
I have,
but yeah. She. Of everyone up there,
oh.
She is the one with the big smile on her face.
And the eyes open wide.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, because I got to see the choir director.
Okay. Me, I'm up there. It's eyes wide shut because I have no idea. I tried it. No idea.
I sing in a choir of people that are very, very, for decades, have been used to being on book. They want to look at their music all the time. It's a comfort. It's their security blanket. On the other hand, since I can now sight read... Okay, because I've taken some lessons and I've been, you know, it's been 5 years I've been doing this. I've been studying. Mm-hmm. But I memorize lyrics at the drop of a hat. If a lyric makes any kind of sense whatsoever, it'll get stuck in my head. And so once I know the song, which only takes like one or two run-throughs, it's actually detrimental to me to stare at my music. So I'm constantly watching the choir director so that I know when to come in, when to go out, when to get, you know, I watch her. And all three of the choir directors that we've had since I've been in the choir have at some point come to me and said, I can always count on you to be looking at me. Because most
well, and
of
it's
the
a
choir
big
isn't.
Commitment. It's a commitment to be in a choir.
And it has bolstered my... It's now the kind of the half of the bedrock of my faith mm-hmm. is singing in the choir because that feeling of singing in praise, to me, is... Along with the program, I would say that choir and program to me are equally responsible mm-hmm. for my spiritual development.
Yeah. See, choir director is like a third base coach at a baseball game.
Yeah.
The guy who's giving signals to everybody.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
you got to know where your signal comes in.
Yeah.
Right. You know? Right, right. Now, Mark, have you had a thing outside of program that has been something that you commit to that provides you with freedom?
Nah.
Yeah. Nothing else counts.
I commit to nothing. So, no, I mean, I don't know. You know, just in life in general, you try to do what you say you're going to do. You know, the things you commit to, you follow through, and you do. Inside a program, outside a program, what's the difference? You know,
yeah,
truthfully, you could say my commitment in the ninth step to the universal amends of being faithful isn't about being in the program. That could be outside of the program.
Could be.
you know, my commitment to my children.
Yeah, I was thinking children as well.
You know, is absolute.
And it's a big commitment.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any commitment bigger than having a child.
No. Because you're not going to turn your back on them. And sometimes the way you don't turn your back on them is tougher on them than if you had.
That's true.
Because the commitment is to be there for them and encourage them to be the best person they can be all the time.
And you and I have both had some things where...
we've had some fun ones, haven't we?
Well, where you are committed to a child, and at least in my, not in your situation, but my situation, the other person not so committed. And, you know, the single dad thing is, I have extreme, admiration for mothers. Whether they're single mothers or working mothers, whatever kind of mothers, because it's a like big
thing. With the exception of?
With the exception.
I don't know. Is there any exception to that?
No.
I always thought, though, I have great respect for mothers, except for my kids' mothers.
No. Yeah. Well, single mothers, some single mothers work hard.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to make it rain. You got to work long hours sometimes.
My boss's wife did that the other day, by the way.
Made it rain?
I went and picked up lunch, and I came back, and she says, "How much was my lunch?" And I said, "Don't worry about it." She goes, "Oh, how much?" She picked up the receipt. She turns on her husband. She says, "Do you have $9? He goes, "Well, hold on. I got it all in dollars, I think." So he hands her the dollars. She takes the dollars in her hand and starts flipping
them off,
making them rain right on me. I'm like, "That's beautiful."
Were you wrapped around a pole at the time?
I offered.
Well, you know. Shelly, do you have anything else to add to this?
Yeah.
Any what?
Do you have anything else to add to this?
About freedom through commitment, or freedom through service, or making
commitment
it rain?
Freedom.
Do I?
That's the question I'm asking you. Do you?
Wow. Never somebody drowned in 2 inches of iced tea before.
then let me do this. What are your final words on freedom through commitment?
Surrender to win is also the same sort of thing.
Okay. Mark?
What?
Freedom through commitment.
Yes.
Mark's final words? Yes.
No, I love the final word, I think. Yeah, I know. I love the way Sean put it when he was talking about it. I think that that is ultimately the freedom of not having to be burdened with having to follow up on things because you've already completed them.
Yeah. My final words would be similar to what we talked about, Mark talked about specifically,
yes,
is that for me, the massive commitment that you make when you're getting sober, changing your entire life and everything you do in it, is a gigantic commitment. And it's the most freeing thing I ever did in my life.
That's why we're here still.
So, Mark, we have a new sponsor.
We do?
Yes, we do.
Who?
My12stepstore.com.
I knew he'd come back with that. Yes, we do. My12stepstore.com. Everybody, go on up. Go check it out. And go support those that support us. Thanks, RJ.
Oh, and by the way, in an addendum to that, they actually take a portion of their profits and provide it to rehab places as scholarships and sponsorships. So people like that don't have enough money to get into certain recovery homes, they help pay.
I already get paid enough to sponsor people as it is now.
Yeah. You're overpaid, right?
I'm overpaid.
Shelly, we have friends back east in the Inland Empire.
You can go to step12magazine.com and 12stepgazette.com to read those publications online. You can also ask for copies to take to it the facility of your choice to share with your friends and loved ones. So go check them out.
And Mark, people listen to the show.
They do, and however you listen, we really appreciate it. You've been listening in droves lately.
Yes.
We ask that you go to our site at recovery101.net. Where you'll be taken to our Podomatic site. You can become a member of Podomatic. Just do it.
Like Nike.
Yeah, just do it. You know, just do it. Don't say no. Nancy Reagan wasn't right. But join there. Once you do, you can go up, click on the show, listen to the shows. You can comment. You can like shows. You can follow. You can follow on the site on the front page every single time you go up on there.
Yes.
The right-hand side has a list of followers. At the top it says become a follower. Just click it. And then you can leave us comments. The one comment Shelley asked about before we started the show today was, do you feel the shows are getting too long? Do you enjoy the length of the shows? Do you want them shorter? Do you want them longer? Do you want us to ramble on endlessly?
No, not longer. Please.
They may.
God, no.
Shelley, we're here for the people.
The number one show is 2 hours
and 20
minutes.
I don't even like talking to me
minutes.
For more than an
we're
hour.
We're here for the people. If our See, folks want us to talk longer, if you don't want to, Bruce and I will find more to talk about.
You don't remember.
You've seen us.
Apparently. The first iteration of the show where we went to the studio.
4 hours.
And did a 4-hour show.
Yes.
That's when they said we were getting 10 times the downloads of anyone else on that channel.
Yeah.
Hence why they said, why don't you do a podcast?
That's right. So
if you are Facebook friendly, it's really easy to join Podomatic. You just click log in with Facebook and it will log you in instantaneously. If you are Facebook friendly, you can like the Recovery 101 Radio Show fan page. If you'd like to be a little more secretive about your recovery, you can join the Recovery 101 secret group. And, of course, because it's a secret group, you will not be able to find it. But
that makes it hard to join, Bruce.
You could message Shelley Burnett or Bill Piper, or you can let us know on the Recovery 101 Radio Show fan page, and we'll make sure you get added to that group. We've got a few hundred people in there that like to be a little more incognito. We have an email address at recovery101radio@gmail.com. You can send topics and stuff there, though we'd prefer you leave them on the recovery101.net site. But if you are a sober performer or you are a sober comedian or a singer or in a band or something, you would like us to help you promote your stuff, send us 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 MP3s. The more you send, the more of them we'll play. And we will do it for free and for fun. You provide us a picture and a link you want that picture to go to. We'll make it into a clickable link so that when people click it, it will go to whatever page you want. We've got videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101 rule 62.
Do not take yourself so damn seriously.
We certainly do not. And Shelley, who's the lead on music by?
I was actually sitting there not thinking about anything whatsoever. We haven't heard Rusty Golden in a while.
Rusty Golden, everybody. Try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
We're out.
And take care of you.
Straight on my way, and now I thank the Stop doing what I shouldn't when